For y'all those that don't know me, my name is Jace Hockaday. We've been going to church here for a minute. This is not the normal group of folks that I stand up and give my testimony in front of, because I'm an alcoholic. If I make it to Christmas Day this coming year, I'll have 13 years sober. I feel the need to give you the severity of my alcoholism. I wasn't just your run-of-the-mill alcoholic. First time I was court-committed to rehab, I would hear guys in there talk about going to rehab 3 and 4 times, and I thought, how do you go to rehab 3 or 4 times? About the 4th or 5th time I was in rehab, I heard guys talking about going to jail, and I thought, how do you go to jail over alcohol? Then when I was in jail, I heard about people talking about being homeless, and I thought, how do you wind up homeless over alcohol? And then when I was without a home, I thought, how did I get here? At any rate, Christmas Day of 2003, I went to a church that I had gone to as a kid, and I knelt down in a swing, and I said, God, I don't care if you kill me, and I don't care if you lock me up for the rest of my life. I can't live like this anymore. And from that day to this, I haven't found the need to drink. That is all God, and thank you for saying what you did, because I'm sitting over there battling, do I tell these people this? But I would be remiss if I didn't give the God the credit. And I'm a child of God, and I'm blessed and highly favored. You can tell, look at my wife, look at my kids. I've got things I don't deserve. Thank you.
I'm going to try not to sound like a blubbering idiot. I did not want to do this, but thank you, Dennis, for making me feel guilty, I guess. Austin, I'm proud of you. I really am. And Kimmy and anybody I've taught in this room, I see these former students, and I'm like, I'm so proud of them. Because I love keeping up with them on Facebook. And a lot of y'all know I was a school teacher for 12, 13 years, something like that. And somewhere along the way, I just started getting kind of, I don't know if I was bored with it or discontent. And I'd always kind of had this idea in my head that I wanted to be a nurse. And, I was a school teacher with a husband and 4 kids. And, you know, we were dependent on 2 incomes and, you know, just all that stuff. And but as time went on, I was just like, you know, I don't think I can do this for 15 more years. I mean, I love the kids, but there's just so much else that goes with it that I was not happy with. And I just wasn't happy, you know. And I started kind of, you know, looking for nursing schools and what would it take to get there and all this. And I thought, and I prayed about it a lot. I was like, God, this is crazy. This is just crazy. You know, I'm like 40 years old and I don't know how I could do this, you know. And so anyway, long story short, I finally was like, I need to do this. I really need this. I don't know how, but I need to do this. And so I finally took the plunge, and thankful for a very supportive husband, and my kids have all been very supportive. And because I know there was plenty of times they were just like, oh, is she ever going to be done? This is ridiculous. We have no money. Well, we weren't poor, but, you know, it was just, I would remind them how I wasn't working. So anyway, this past December, I finally graduated, and, you know, through the process of looking through it for a job, that in itself is stressful. And last summer, I put in my application for Cook Children's, and it's very difficult to get a job there. It just is, it's just, you know, because a lot of people want to work there. And I remember telling my nursing school friends, I'm like, okay, I'm going to put this application in, but you know, it ain't going to happen. I'd been working, you know, part-time at THR, and so I thought, that's where all my connections are, that's where I'm going to go. And it's a great hospital. So anyway, I ended up getting an interview, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool, you know. Felt pretty special about that. I'm like, okay, well, I'll go interview. It's a good experience, but I'm probably going to work at THR. And so I had all these, like 5 interviews. And finally, you know, several of my friends had already gotten job offers. I'm thinking, gosh, they don't want me. What's wrong with me? I don't know what I'm going to do. You start getting panicky. And finally, I get a call from Cook Children's offering me this job. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to cry. You know, I was all excited. And the lady's like, so is that a yes? I said, yes, I'll take it. And literally like 30 minutes later, THR called me. I mean, literally 30 minutes later. And I'm like, ooh, I just took a job with Cook, you know. And it ended up later that afternoon, I got another job offer from a different THR hospital. And so I'm like, sorry. And it has been the coolest thing. I just love my job. I feel like I'm living a dream, you know. And people go, well, do you regret, you know, not doing nursing the first time around, you know, when you went to college years ago? And I don't, because I wouldn't have had all that experience teaching and met all the wonderful kids that I did. And I grew up so much. I don't think I would have made a very good nurse 25 years ago. And it is amazing. But God listened to my heart and knew what I needed to really, he wants you to be happy. And whether it's, you know, when you're 20 or 40 or 60 or whatever, he cares about your needs and he guides your path all along the way. And I'm just so thankful. There's so many people here that prayed for me when I was stressed out and wondering, how can I do the school thing again? And like, so many people were just always so encouraging to me. And I just thank you for that. And just know that God does listen to your heart. And he guides your path along the way, whatever it looks like. It may not look like what you think it will, but he cares and he does listen. So thank you.
Appreciate the little things that this church has for us. And the story I have is about the witness bracelet. And I have several different colors. I don't know if any of the other ladies in here do, but it always has to match my outfit. So I have to apologize for that. But I was able to give away one in April or May of this year to a gentleman that my husband works with, or works. The companies worked together and found out that he was a believer, and I asked him if he wanted to have my bracelet. He's from Sweden, so I thought this would be some way that he can reach out to those people on the other side of the world. So in July, my husband and I were able to go to Sweden on a business trip for him and pleasure for me. And it was a wonderful country. We were out in the wilderness as far as people on their ranch, and every morning we'd get up and take the horse and ponies and goats out to the field and let them graze, and every evening we would bring them back in. But the relationship that I was able to just make in about 7 days with his wife was just very exciting and very wonderful. And someone who lives on the other side of the world is so much like we are here on this side of the world. But the day before we were about to leave, I had another witness bracelet on, and she said, oh, that's a very pretty color. So I was like, yay, I can have different colors. But I was able to leave that with her, and I had the little card that explained the witness bracelet too. So that was, I'm glad now that I have lots of different colors. So.
Forgive me if I get emotional. I tend to do that. I have been blessed to be a member of this congregation. My son last year left in middle of November on his first cruise. He is a United States Navy E-4 nuclear machinist mate. So he was his first deployment. 2 weeks into his first deployment, his wife sent him a message that she wanted a divorce. They had very different ideas of what marriage is. And different people in this church have loved on us and prayed for him. We were able to Jesse and I were able to go to Cambodia this summer. We spent a week there. We got back on Sunday after the longest day of my life. No, literally, we had 19 hours of daylight that day. It started at 4 o'clock in Doha, and we landed here at 2 o'clock and headed east. We went to Virginia and drove for 2 days and got to Virginia and spent a day cleaning up my son's house. So when he got back on Wednesday, it would be the best experience that it could be for him. But when he came back in, we were able to spend some time with him and to love on him. You know, being aboard ship, there is internet service, sorta. He was able to message us, but we were not able to speak to him. For 7 months, we were not able to love on him the way we wanted to. The people in this church have loved on us and prayed for him, and he is in a good place now. Now, everything's not working out for him, but he is back, and we are able to love on him more directly, and I really appreciate y'all's care for him and us. On a side note, if you are a member of this church, or if you attend this church and you're not plugged in, that's like having an 80-inch TV, you know, high-definition TV plugged into a Betamax recorder, and that's all you got. You know, it's kind of a waste. You know, get involved. There are people here who want to love on you, but they can't love on you if you're not connected to them. Okay? We have been blessed since Holton went to Virginia last year as my middle son. We have been blessed with a group that we've been able to seriously love on Monday nights. And that spread, and now it's there's a different group that we love on Sunday afternoons. And it's just God has really blessed us in it, and it's been a wonderful experience for us. And just that's what I got. Thank you.
Hey, y'all. My name is Aaron Burke. I've been out away on business for a little while, and I missed you guys. And I wanted to say thank you for continuing to be a congregation, a family that loves God and will be loyal to Him and continue to show up weekly and give me a place to call home. Because this is what I've missed the most. I walked back in and immediately felt the love in this place, and it's been wonderful just to be here for an hour, and I'm just overwhelmed. And I brought a friend and his son today, and they were swarmed immediately whenever they came in, and people just left and right, like, "Hey, what's your name? Hey, oh, you're from Puerto Rico. That's cool. Sit with her. And hey, this is Andy Bob. He'll meet your son. He's going into middle school." It's just been awesome. It's good to be home, and I miss all you guys. Love y'all. Thank you.
I'll try to make this short. Many of you know Greg and I. We've been members here forever. Interesting story is we actually live in Fort Worth. Greg teaches in Aledo, so we came here when our daughter was in probably middle school, I guess, because a lot of her friends. The best decision of our life. God brought us here because He knew what was going to happen. And I'll kind of make it short. One day I'll be able to tell the whole story. I have permission, so to tell the story. Our daughter grew up in the church. We have taken her to church since the day she was born. So church is something she understood. Church is something she believed in. Church is something she treasured. Loved her Sunday school class, loved her youth group, all those kinds of things. Unfortunately, we're still not exactly sure what happened, but like lots of teens, she lost her way. And in the fall of 2014, she and I are riding down the road, and we had just found out She's pregnant. I worked at that point for an adoption agency. And the first thing that entered my mind was, you've got to be kidding me. I work at Gladney. We have talked about this, all those kinds of things. But God understood that baby was going to save her life. And he did. But the other thing that saved her life was this congregation. At that point, we were, Camp Commission was, we came twice a week at that point. And I'll never forget, I told Corinne Brashear was the first person I told. And I said, Corinne, you're not going to believe Leah's pregnant. So we kind of started and went back and I told Camp Commission. And so I was kind of telling it at church, and my very, very good friend at my work at that time, her husband is a pastor of a small church in Fort Worth. And so Corinne suggested that Leah kind of get involved, talk to Vicky, let her start being a part of the nursery. She's never even babysitted. She's, 17 years old at that point, 18 years old, I guess, had never babysitted, and she's about to become a mom. The one thing I told her was, Leah, this is your decision. You are an adult. You have now entered the adult world. The one thing your dad and I ask you is, please do not consider an abortion. If you want to raise the baby, we're going to help you. And she said, Mother, I would never consider an abortion, because she's adopted herself. And she understood that her birth mom loved her enough to give her a chance. So back to, back at Camp Commission. So I was telling Curtis about it. And, Curtis is like, that's a grand, grand idea. So I go to the office, told only a few little friends, told my friend whose husband's a pastor. Guess what she said to me? I said, you're not going to believe this. I was telling a couple of my friends at church, and they suggested that Leah start in the nursery. She needs to start taking care of kids. She's fixing to be a mom. You know what the lady said to me? They're going to let her take care of children? And I thought, oh my goodness, she's having an unplanned pregnancy. She's never hurt children. But do you see, that's how that faith handled it. How did this faith of this church handle it? Corinne Brashear started a group of women who have unplanned pregnancies. My goodness. And do you know, Leah is now connected. She doesn't want to come to church. She calls it big church yet. But do you know, because of Corinne and those group of women, she's coming Tuesday night to Sarah Meadows's, whatever, Crazy Sixes or whatever we call it. She's coming the night that the women tell their testimony. That's because of your prayers and your acceptance of a young kid who had an unplanned pregnancy. That's what church is about. That's what it's all about. Have we all made mistakes, or we are all sinners? Absolutely. Leah's sin was a little more out there. When you're pregnant, you can't hide it. But that's what this church is about. God knew when he sent Greg and I here, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever it was, God knew that Leah was going to have an unplanned pregnancy. God knew that Corinne Brashear was going to start that group of women. God knew all that. And all I can say is, pray. Don't give up. God has not forgotten us. There are days that, life has changed for us. I've, changed jobs, and some days it's horrible. But God has not forgotten us, and this church has not forgotten us. Please allow me to encourage you to get involved. You're going to need your friends, your church friends, because life on this earth is tough. We're going to need each other. I never thought that I would be standing here telling you, I'm a master's level social worker. I work for an adoption agency. My daughter has had an unplanned pregnancy. You've got to be kidding me. But God was not surprised. And the last thing I want to leave you with is what I told Leah. Of course, Leah was very upset when she's had her, we found out that she was pregnant. I said, Leah, God wasn't asleep. And he woke up and said, oh my goodness, Leah Hicks is now pregnant. What are we going to do? God was not asleep. God knew what was going to happen, but he also knew that change, that baby saved his mother's life, and praise God for that. She's now married. They have another baby. They're doing well. They're not doing perfect, but none of us are. But she's doing well because of that baby that she chose not to abort. Praise God. Thank you.
So anyone that knows me knows I would rather claw my eyes out than talk in public, so thanks, Dad. This last semester in college, I got a phone call from my mom out of nowhere. I mean, talk to my mom all the time, but out of nowhere, she brings up, I talked to Mike Maciel, and he had your name brought up about going to Peru this year and about going long term. And I had no plans of going on a mission trip this summer. I've been on one almost every summer in my life, and I've loved it, but I was graduating college, and I was trying to figure out the real world and trying to be an adult, and I wasn't ready for going away and coming back. So I was really, really having a hard time with it, and I was like, okay, I just need to pray about it. I'm not sure yet. Give me some time. And as soon as I put down the phone, the Lord just put it in my head, and he said, you're going on that trip, and you're not in charge. And that was one of the hardest things for me to hear, being Dennis Ledford's daughter. You learn to be a leader, you learn to be in charge. That's what you do. So it was really hard on me to know that that's what the Lord wanted me to do and that I wasn't going to be in control. And so all last semester and until I left this summer, I've been praying about not being in control and knowing that God was going to use me the way he wanted to use me. And he just laid out so many miracles and so many blessings while I was in Peru. I got to witness to girls that had, you know, been in abusive homes and just like love on them and share the Lord with them. And just seeing the passion of God in that place when you're not in control was the most incredible thing in the world. And it was really hard for me because I like to be in control. I like to have plans. And if you go to Peru, there are no plans. You just do what you're told and you are excited about it and have a happy heart about it because they don't make plans. We were on our way to a church house, and we're sitting in the car for, I think, an hour and a half, and Cesar, who's in charge of Sona Segura, we get out of the car, he comes up to the group, and he says, so, does anybody have a story to tell? And we're standing in the middle of this town that has no electricity, no running water. I mean, it's like adobe houses. And nobody's talking, so of course I open my big mouth. And I'm like, well, this kind of reminds me of the story of the paralytic man being dropped down into Jesus' arms. Like, it's such a small place where, you know, people just have to really believe in the faith of God, in their faith with God to do it and to be there for him. And he was like, okay, great. And he just goes along walking, and we're all sitting there like, okay, what just happened? And we walk into this house, and you walk through the front door, and you're open into this just open area. And there's two cows sitting in the like in their living room, and there's sacks of potatoes. And they go and sit on the sacks of potatoes and say, okay, we're going to start Bible study. And Cesar turns and looks at me, and he's like, okay, tell your story. And I was like, what? Out of nowhere, you know, he was like, we had an hour and a half in a car, and you couldn't have told us that I was about to lead a lesson. And it was just really cool to, really humbling, to sit in a living room with two cows and talk about the faith of God. And, you know, there's not much you can do to be in control of that situation. And the way the Lord uses you is just such incredible ways. And I think it was really hard for me to not be in control, but the Lord's really put it on my heart that I'm not in control of my life. And I'm accepting that and I'm happy about that. And I'm excited for the future that God has for me because I'm not in control anymore. And I think that's something as a church group that we need to learn is that we're not in control. We're not in charge. We can make as many plans as we want, but God's going to change them. And they're going to be even better than what we planned them to be. So.
So that redheaded girl up there inherited her fear of speaking in front of people from me, unfortunately. But I have a group of women that I meet with on Tuesday nights and super prayer warriors. I'm telling you, there are 10 or 12 of us, and God has done miracles almost every week. So if anybody's looking for a little group that
community-based women. We, Hallie and I, would love for you to meet with us. But anyway, a couple months ago, I went to the doctor, and I had a thyroid, thing, nodule, tumor, whatever. So the doctor, the surgeon, it's like, okay, we're going to do this kind of surgery, and I'm going through the whole thing. He's going to send me to this doctor, and this is exactly what we're going to do. Okay, I got it. I wrote my little notes, and he drew pictures, and I went to the Bible study group on Tuesday, and I was going to have to go for one more test. And so the first test showed this big nodule, tumor, whatever. And so we went to Bible study, and the girls are like, we're going to pray over this, and God's got this. He's going to make it whatever it is. He'll be there. You'll be fine. So we had God's agent. God has agents everywhere. All of you are God's agents. Meredith on the plane. You don't even know what you're supposed to be doing. And God, the Holy Spirit, is telling you to say something like this. I don't know why, but you just do what the Holy Spirit is asking you to do, and God will do the rest, whatever he needs to have done. You're doing his will. This lady showed up at our Bible study. We'd never seen her before. We have never seen her since. And she was this prayer warrior from... You've never seen anything like it. And she prayed over me. She got the group. We prayed. Next day, I go in for my test. And this is like the best doctor that you could find in the area for this thing. And she puts me on the table, and she's doing this test. And she's a Chinese doctor. She walks out of the room, and she comes back in, and she says, I got to do this again. I got to turn it on higher because I don't know. And I said, well, what do you not know? What's going on? She goes, I don't really see that. And I said, really? And I feel like I'm not supposed to say this to the doctor, but I say, my Bible study prayed over this last night, so maybe it's not there anymore. She looked at me like, oh, really? No, it's there, because your doctor wouldn't have sent you to me. I'm the specialist. So she does it again, and then she leaves the room, and then she comes back, and I said, it's not there, is it? She goes, I don't know. Let me do it again. So here we go through this whole thing again. And I said, my Bible study prayed over this, and I bet it's gone. She comes back in after a few more minutes, and she says, that was a really good prayer. She said, and your God healed you. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying the words, but I don't believe it. So, this is great. But not for me. I can pray for everybody. I can be a prayer warrior for anyone in here, all my friends, but not for me. I don't deserve that. So she goes and gets me. I have to get some blood work done. She's like, well, that's not it. There's probably something else. So she sends me for blood work. And here's God's agent, the lady who's taking the blood, which that's no fun anyway. And he inbounds this woman, and she's saying, well, why are you here? And I'm like, I don't know. Doctor wants me to get some blood work. I had this thing, and now it's not there anymore. And she says to me, oh, and you don't believe it? She said, and God has healed you, and you're trying to explain it away like it was never there. And she said, God performed a miracle on you, and you don't want to tell anybody. And I was like, wow, that lady didn't know me. She didn't know my story. She didn't know anything about me. And God used her to just... say, dude, you're on the wrong track. You have no control over what's happening with you. You deserve my love, and I've chosen to heal you. So you need to accept that and not explain it away. So that's my story.